We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Warriors Huddle with me, Bram, and with me as always, my boy, producer Scott.
Scott here.
Scotty, it's been remarkably long between the last couple of podcasts. I don't know about you, but doing this thing always seems to make me feel kind of more important. So I've really genuinely missed it. Have you enjoyed the time off, or were you ready to get back behind the mics?
It took a lot to hold me back from the chance of pressing record, talking about a Draymond Green dick pic that's being sent around. I mean, plus his other offseason antics. There's been a lot to discuss, so it has been hard not to turn on the mics and record.
In that scenario, would you have just done like a solo dick pic podcast?
Well, that would be tough. that would definitely be tough.
I think I would definitely listen to that. I just like hearing you use the phrase dick pic. So let's go ahead and jump in and see how many times we can use it through the course of this episode. Let's start off with the Warriors report. Before we get there, an obvious observation. Unfortunately enough, the good Mr. Simmons could not join us today. He had a couple of other pressing engagements, but I'm sure we'll get him back soon enough. That in tow, let's jump into the Warriors report, man. Last episode, as long back as it was, I think I remember, was about 99.9% positive, which I know bothered you being the negative guy of the show. So why don't we go through some topics that aren't quite so positive, and let's start here. Draymond's offseason. Less than what? 2-3 months removed from where Draymond was punished because he punched one too many people in the balls during the playoffs. He has now had a couple of run-ins, first with the Michigan State police authorities, and then secondly with the internet authorities, I guess. For those who haven't been paying attention, Draymond was assessed a $560 noise violation in a plea deal after he allegedly slapped Michigan State football player Jermaine Edmondson over in East Lansing, Michigan on a late Saturday night. You follow any of that?
Yeah, the best part about that was Draymond Green shows up to, well, the cops bring him into the station and there's a video of it. You don't get the sound from it, but it's like a 45-minute long video. A couple of highlights. Number one, it appears though Draymond was out at in the bars just wearing a t-shirt, like mesh shorts, and then socks with sandals on.
What do you mean mesh shorts? I mean, like basketball shorts or like some kind of special see-through shorts?
No, just like basketball shorts.
Ah, okay.
Which is just phenomenal to show up at the bar wearing your flip-flops with your socks on.
Well, if you were an NBA player coming off a finals game 7, even though you lost, although he played phenomenally well, and you go back to where you played in college, you could wear anything. You could have came back dressed like a Teletubby and they would have immediately had to respect him. But I see where you're coming from on that.
Additionally, at one point,
I have a Teletubby outfit, by the way. Okay. I know that you were worried about that, but I
was going to gloss over it, but you want to spend some time?
It has mesh shorts as well. It's a really important part of it.
Normally, I don't know, it just seems like you hear about police confiscating everything you have on you when they bring you into the station. Not only do they not confiscate everything, but they allow Draymond free use of his cell phone, including at one point getting him a cell phone charger. He's running low on batteries and says, I need the charger. And some cop goes back to his office and brings him an iPhone charger.
And the camera pans over and shows Jermaine Edmondson like in a cell, not getting anything at all. If you haven't heard the story, the short version is that Draymond goes back to East Lansing Friday night, goes out, runs into this guy, Jermaine Edmondson. They exchange words. Draymond drops the terrible phrase of, don't you know who I am, and ends it with, I'm the guy who's paid for your guys' football scholarships. Then runs into the guy again the second night. Something happens. We're not sure exactly what, but apparently it leads to Draymond slapping him. And since the fine was for a quote-unquote noise violation, he must have slapped the out of that guy, because that's a hell of a loud slap. Now we fast forward, right? Unfortunately, that wasn't the only thing that he was accused of during this offseason. About 2 weeks ago, Draymond put up a dick pic accidentally, apparently took a picture of his dick and tried to send it out, I would imagine, as an instant message, quote unquote, pressed the wrong button, and all of us got to see a little bit more of Draymond than we wanted to.
Well, the classic thing about this situation is, and we'll cover whether or not Draymond has just lost his mind and what he's doing here, but he came out with the classic, I've been hacked.
Which only lasts for about 30 seconds.
Yeah, it was 30 seconds, and then he said something like, oh, I can't catch a break or something like that.
And then he ended it with, literally, I pressed the wrong button. Unless the button he was trying to press was delete, then he is definitely right. He went ahead and pressed the wrong button. How many dick pics have you sent in your life? Are you above 10, 15? You seem like a big dick pic guy.
Yeah, right? No, I am at zero. I've never even entertained the idea that anyone, any like female would be interested
no.
in seeing that. Like, it's just not a flattering thing to get, I think.
Seeing that, I wouldn't take a picture of any, like, picture of my face or hand, like, nothing. I can't imagine ever just sending a picture of myself to someone and be like, hey, check this out, you know, let alone my balls.
Well, let alone posting it on, well, yeah, I guess getting anywhere near posting it on social media.
Well, you know, I guess neither of us play NBA basketball for a living. Maybe that would change all of our prospects. Maybe we'd be firing dick pics off left and right.
I don't wear socks and sandals to a bar either.
But. Well, I do that, but only with my Teletubby suit. Now, that said, these two things have led a lot of people to start squawking about Draymond yet again, especially when you couple it with what happened in the finals and what happened with the playoffs. So on Twitter, we threw out a vote, and the two options were, are you remarkably concerned about this, or it means absolutely nothing. 67% of the people who responded came out and said, this means nothing. Where do you stand? Are you worried about it?
I'm a little worried because he seems to be going in the direction of somebody who had the skills and the career trajectory. And I think, I mean, this is overstating it, but he was more in line going the direction, if you kind of were to create a spectrum, going towards Magic Johnson.
Sure.
And I think now he's moving towards Dennis Rodman. And so I don't like the direction that he's headed.
It's had two effects on me. It's affected how I view him as a player, and it's led to a little bit of concern. Let's take him in turn. Up until the back end of last year and these two offseason problems, I was always of the mind that Draymond was a remarkably smart player. We heard that from the moment he came in. Mark Jackson was saying this guy's going to be a coach somewhere. Steve Kerr has told us what role he plays behind the scenes. All of that suggests somebody who can look two, three, four plays ahead. Always understands what's happening. Always understands the effect of their actions. What we're seeing here doesn't suggest that at all. This suggests someone who's acting really impulsively. And that cuts against this idea of him being a remarkably smart player. I don't understand the dichotomy there. Yeah,
yeah, he was always a great locker room guy and a guy who said basketball IQ was one of the great skills that he had.
Right.
And starting in that regular season with that Oklahoma City game where he like took off his shoes and was going to maybe not go back onto the court for the second half.
Threatened Steve Kerr is what we learned from Rusty, right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, far from somebody who's got a career in coaching ahead of him, this sounds like somebody who's acting immediately on their emotions. And that's not what I've been led to believe about Draymond, which concerns me a little bit.
One of the big differences is he has now seen and attained success both, I think, from his peers, from the league, and monetarily speaking, he's gotten paid a lot of money. And has that all kind of gone to his head now?
See, I'll go the other direction. Here's the thing that actually does really worry me about this. Right after the Warriors lost, before they added Kevin Durant, we talked about this whole concept of bad things happen for good reasons under Joe Lacob for the Warriors. And the bad thing that happened for good reasons for Draymond, at least per the way I put it, was that he had to sit out in Game 5. He learned that these impulsive actions can absolutely not only cost him a game, but his team a championship. And if you are ever going to learn that you can't do this kind of crap out there, it's going to be because you sit and you basically think that you've cost yourself a title, right? Within a month of that lesson, while everything's still kind of settling in, we start seeing these other problems trickle down, and it's an immediate suggestion that he didn't pick up that lesson. I'm not worried about it. I think that he's still going to be the phenomenal player we need him to be, and it's really possible that you can't ask someone to be fiery and or bully on the court and not be fiery and not a bully off the court, right? And perhaps there is this connection between what he does for us there and how he hurts us off it, but I was unhappy to see that. I thought that this guy was smarter. I thought that he had learned a lesson, and it looks like I might be off base on both of those.
Do you think the Warriors need to start to put somebody around Draymond and kind of monitor him a little more?
I don't. Not with this. Not with these two stupid small things. And honestly, had they not been the team that they are, had they not gone all the way to Game 7, we wouldn't have heard about this crap. You know, I mean, the dick pic thing is stupid, really. It doesn't really mean that much at all. And getting into altercations in old college towns isn't that big of a deal either. I think we're just hearing about it because of who he is. But it also doesn't illustrate someone who feels terrible about what the hell happened against LeBron. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't someone who's sitting around thinking, I can't let this happen again. This is someone who's still doing whatever the hell he wants.
And it's just, how many times are we going to hear the refrain from him, you know, I'm sorry, I'm going to turn over a new leaf and get back to being the Draymond that you thought you knew. It seems to be a common refrain that I keep hearing after every one of these incidents.
I like the idea that this is a byproduct of success. More than anything now, I want this podcast to become remarkably successful so that you at some point have a dick pic scandal. I mean, I'm just going to leave that out there. We'll see how it ultimately ends. Another thing that's happened since our last podcast is that Russell Westbrook went back and signed an unexpected extension with the Thunder. It's a 3-year deal worth $85 million, although he's got an opt-out after the second year. It's something that led the mayor of Oklahoma City, a guy named Mick Cornett, to declare the day that he signed that deal Russell Westbrook Day. And all it's done is really heated up the Kevin Durant as a villain talk. It's kind of underlined it, which leads me to this question. Do you think any of that's just justified? All these people who are pointing at Kevin Durant, saying that this is, you know, making him an awful person or he copped out, all of these other storylines. Is there any truth to that for you?
I think those people are taking a really brief look at the situation and not putting it in the right context. Because to me, I just think a guy who's spent 9 years in one place in his 20s deserves the opportunity to go elsewhere and try new things and do different things. I haven't spent, you know, that long in any city for a long time.
Sure. I think they're being disingenuous. I think that they're being hypocritical. I think that they're being jealous. That anybody, all 99.99% of the people who are saying that, if somebody came to them and offered them a better job in a better city with people who they preferred to work with, 99.99% would say absolutely. Of course they would. Because of the weirdo, strange loyalties we build in sports and the way that fans look at the competition, you kind of take away the real world aspects. What this guy did was spend 9 years building up the right to work where the hell he wanted to work, and then he picked a job he really wanted to do. So if it creates a super team, if it makes you angry, if you feel like he betrayed you, you're being ridiculous. I mean, this is nothing more than a man exercising the right that he has spent almost a decade building up.
And I think you see it in the reaction from the Oklahoma City organization and even from his teammates where, you know, I know Russell and maybe Enes Kanter have thrown out a couple slight jabs, yeah. but nothing really serious, more Kanter than anyone.
Enes Kanter needs to shut up. That fool, I mean, you're not like an all-star. Nobody needs to hear any takes from you.
But I'm just saying, compare that reaction to Dan Gilbert's letter when LeBron left the Cavs for the first time.
Compare that. Everyone's saying this has created like this super unfair scenario, right? The Warriors are remarkably good, so somebody needs to step in. Flip that coin for me. Let's go ahead and go back 10 years. When it wasn't excellence, it was incompetence. Nobody seemed to give a single shit, Scott, when this team was winning 18 wins a game every single year because of the incompetence of our front office. No one said, this is hell of unfair. We need to step in and change the structure. Make sure the Warriors are hell of good again. Nothing like that happened. Now that we finally get the benefit of this, that it is our excellence, not our incompetence, that's sticking out, I don't need all these people coming in talking about rule changes. You didn't care when we were terrible. Now that it's helping us, I don't want to hear you care now.
I hope Durant adopts that same attitude as you, because if his confidence gets shaken, or you saw the first Team USA exhibition game in LA, he got booed right off the bat.
It would bother. So I'm weird, personality type. I mean, I was going to ask you, would it bother you if they considered you a villain? And I will, but let me go first. I'm the type of guy where if I think I still have a chance with you, if your opinion could go either way, then I'll tap dance and really try to make you like me, right? On the other side of that coin, if I think you already hate me and there's nothing I can do, then I'll bask in it. If I travel with my 1-year-old daughter and we're on the plane and everyone's giving me that look like I hate you, I don't care at all. I will go up to them and acknowledge, I know that you hate me. I don't care. Let's just move on with the flight. So if Durant can get to that FU level, you know, like, let's spend the preseason where he's trying to figure out whether or not he can get the fans back. Maybe by game 2 or 3, 5, whatever it is, 10, he realizes it's not happening. If he can skip to that, I don't care. In fact, I'm going to punish you for the hatred, then I think we're in a really good place. You strike me as a guy who wouldn't care. If people hate you, does it hit you in a weird place, or do you just ignore it?
No, I'm a pleaser. I'm a pleaser. I'd like people to like me too. But, I mean, similar to you, if... I guess a lot of it comes down to just fairness and justice for me. So if I feel that people are thinking that I did something wrong and I really believe it was the right thing to do, then I won't have any problem with it. But if my heart of hearts, if I don't feel very comfortable with the decision, then I'm going to start to sort of tap dance and try to get them back in my good favor.
I guess I can see that from you. Although I'm still trying to somehow work around how much you hate me for not bringing to that game. You don't seem like you're real flexible one way or the other as far as emotional responses.
Well, you've got a chance to make up for it because we have a new season coming up, and I think the Wizards are coming to town in April.
It will never happen. We'll turn to the schedule next. Before we do, I think Kerr kind of agrees with us. They talked to him about the villain stuff, and here's what he had to say. Quote, "To think of Kevin Durant or Steph Curry or any of our guys as villains is kind of absurd, especially Kevin. This is one of the most likable people in the league. He's just an awesome human being. What he did in Oklahoma City was just amazing for that community. Circumstances kind of dictate, I guess, that some people are going to see him as a villain. But it's only because he decided to go elsewhere to play. He wanted to change his scenery. He wanted a new challenge. More than anything, he wanted to play with our guys. He loves Draymond and Steph and Clay and Andre. Seeing those guys in New York, he loved seeing the chemistry that exists, and he wanted to be a part of it. So what Kerr is essentially saying to me is this guy was entitled to his decision, just like we were saying, and that there should be none of this evil backlash. But, I mean, what the hell is he going to say? He's the best coach. You know?
Exactly. I wouldn't expect any other type of quote from Kerr other than what you just read. He nailed it as he should, as he usually does.
Schedule came out today. Did you take a look? You must have if you're already quoting me when the hell the Wizards play. And you're probably the only dude on earth who's like, oh, Warrior schedule came out. When do they play the Wiz? Nobody cares about that game at all.
I'm already circling that game as a moment that you and I will not be together at that game.
I'm already circling that game as something I'll invite you to and then not bring you to. But we've got a while, man. I mean, literally, it's almost a year from now.
Opening up with San Antonio at Oracle, that's a pretty nice opening day game. So that's going to be intense.
Here's the things that stuck out to me. You're absolutely right. The Warriors are going to be at home versus San Antonio. That's October 25th, nationally televised game. Only 75 days from today for those who are looking for a very specific count.
I'd want a much weaker team to open up with, by the way.
I am thinking, this is a weird way to put it, if I was more of a gambling man, I would be betting against the Warriors. I'd be betting the spread for the opposing team, because I think the Warriors are going to come out hot, but I think they're also going to be overpassing at first. You know, they're going to have to find their rhythm, find out how this new team kind of gels together, and because of that, everyone's going to be expecting them to blow people out. I don't think that's going to happen, but the whole San Antonio thing scares me, so I wouldn't even touch that one way or the other. The other things that stuck out from the schedule, they play the Thunder four times this year. First one is November 3rd at home, about a week after the opener, so it is right there, man.
Yeah, real quick.
They play Cleveland on Christmas and on Martin Luther King, but they flipped them. So last year, we were at home on Christmas. This year, we're at Cleveland on Christmas. So they played 11:30 as opposed to at night, which I'm a little bit pissy about.
11:30 West Coast time?
Yeah, 11:30 West Coast time at home.
I don't like that. I'll be opening presents still.
As a Jew, I won't care. That will be my present. And then they, like I said, they'll be back at Oakland on Martin Luther King Day. They got 28 nationally televised games, by far the most for any team. That makes sense.
No, 37 if you count NBA TV.
I don't. Who the hell has NBA TV? And then 17 back-to-backs from 20 last year, so they went down a little bit. And then they close out with a huge streak at home, 6 of the last 7. We won't do the whole prediction things. We'll save that for a later ep. But I'll tell you what, I don't think they're going to win 73. I know it's the popular opinion. When I was looking through the schedule, there's not a whole lot of games you're like, oh, they're definitely going to lose that one. Oh, no, this team's much better. I mean, you can make an argument that they are pretty much better than every single team out there.
Yeah, they're the best team in the league for sure, but that definitely doesn't mean they're going to win every game. They're going to have, I think, some growing pains to go through. I think they're also going to lose games because they're going to manage minutes a little more carefully than they did last year. One thing you didn't mention was the first time that Kerr faces Walton as a new head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, I didn't mention that because I don't give a shit about the Lakers or when they match up against them. As I went on record saying last year, I wish they'd kicked Walton out of the locker room during the halftime speeches all throughout the playoffs. Do you care? Are you a huge Walton guy now or something?
I like storylines like that, absolutely.
Do you have any tidbits you can drop about the Wizards season for us, or...? I was joking. My God, I don't care. Please. Were you going to say something there? We're hopefully just going to move on.
This guy asks a question and cuts me right off. No, it's not looking good for the Wiz this year.
That is something we can finally agree on. You watching the Olympics?
I have been, and it's, you know, gymnastics been wonderful. No, you're talking USA basketball?
No, I was talking about gymnastics. Yes, I'm talking about USA basketball.
It's something that I think I get more into as the games carry more and more weight once it gets into the single elimination round. But I can tell you, I've been watching and seeing Durant and then just knowing that everything he does is going to be done as a Warrior next year has been a lot of fun.
Oh, Mike, there are real upsides and downsides to watching the Olympics. You've already nailed the upside. Watching a guy of his caliber, knowing that he's coming, and he's getting to play all these scrubs, you know, so we're getting to see him basically at his best at all times, which I really enjoy. I don't like the kind of weirdo feeling of having to root for villains. Like, I hate Kyrie Irving now. Sports hatred, I don't know the man, but I've got a very deep sports hatred for Kyrie Irving, a pretty well-seeded sports hatred for DeAndre Jordan. And it's like, I was watching that Australian game yesterday. And it was close enough where I'm starting to get kind of worried, you know, and so I'm actively rooting for the U.S. team. And Kyrie Irving played a very large role down the stretch in that in the fourth quarter. And it was a really mixed bag of emotions for me. I was kind of hoping he got hurt. And I really disliked that guy.
Well, it not only is it having to root for the people that you don't root for during the season, but then it's seeing, you know, the Warriors acting all buddy-buddy with the enemies. Yes. So I don't know if you saw the pregame, Draymond and DeAndre Jordan did some pregame little dance where
they grabbed the cup. Toasted something together, yes.
Yeah, like, I don't want to see that. Like, I hate seeing that.
I hate what that suggests, that, like, before the game, they sat down somewhere and went through a number of, like, possible scenarios. Like, oh, we should go with a handshake. No, we should involve water. Ooh, I've got the perfect idea. I like the idea of them sitting on opposite sides of the locker room and just flipping each other off the entire time before they go out there.
Yeah, like DeMarcus Cousins still seemed he got his fourth foul, I don't know, in the third quarter. He sits at the end of the bench, like a couple players like DeMar DeRozan or Kyle Lowry come over to try to talk to him. He was having none of it.
That's the other thing. It's interesting rooting for players and seeing kind of what it would feel like rooting for them if they were, in fact, on your team. Carmelo Anthony has a really weird, slow offensive game, and he had a bunch of really go-to baskets. They needed him scoring down the stretch, but I'm not used to the cadence of his game. He'd get the ball, turn his back to the basket, face back up, you know, and it was all these things where I'm not used to those rhythms, you know, and so it's weird rooting for it, not knowing what to expect. It's weird rooting for DeMarcus and finally feeling some of the holdback from him being completely insane and sitting way off on the other side. Although I'll tell you something that is familiar, it is not weird at all rooting for Harrison Barnes and watching him shit the bed and do nothing at all. So at least we have that consistency.
Yeah, that was pretty consistent. And also seeing Bogut and Cousins mix it up a little bit too was also a lot of fun.
Bogut looked hell of good yesterday,
he did.
By the way.
He did.
Thin and kind of motivated. He was blocking us. I mean, he'll be hurt soon enough so we won't have to worry about it, but he looked damn good. You know what else has stuck out for me? I don't know if you've been following this at all, but it really seems like Draymond and Durant are getting close. There's a bunch of pictures that are leaking out, selfies of them, picture of them in front of Christ the Redeemer statue.
They're watching Michael Phelps together.
Yeah, right, watching Michael Phelps together. And my immediate thought was, if I'm Steph, and I'm not to say that I know what Steph's reaction is, I'm just putting myself in his shoes and bringing my own neurosis to the table. If I'm Steph, I'm at home. I'm watching this, you know, I'm viewing myself as I'm going to be the big horse right next to Durant. This is going to be our team. And then I see all these pictures coming out showing how close Draymond and Kevin Durant are getting without me there. I'm resentful. Like, I wouldn't like that. I'd be kind of pissy about the entire thing. It'd be the type of thing to make me, like, start shooting off hell of texts to Kevin Durant or trying to interfere with the relationship or reminding them how important I am, you know.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, I've got a friend in town from D.C. this week. And he met up the other night with some other of our friends who live here. And I'm like, you know, we have a hangout planned already later in the week. But I don't like the idea that he was hanging out with them. No. I wasn't there. Like, I want to be a part of it. And so if I wasn't there, especially in that initial bonding stage,
exactly,
it would drive me nuts.
I would need a text from each of them, probably more than one. Something along the lines of, we really wish you were here, and like, I would be having a better time if you were here. You know, not a group text. I want some individual that suggests, like, Kevin Durant's thinking of me, not necessarily Draymond. Like, I need that kind of hand-holding in my relationships, man. It just is what it is.
There would be a strong chance that I'd be flying to Rio.
Like a surprise visit. Like, hey! And then only inviting one of them out to dinner, like somehow solidifying, no, I'm the most important person here. You know who hasn't been in those pictures? Oh, that's not fair. Who hasn't been a main part of those pictures is Klay Thompson, and he's also been kind of missing on the court a little bit. He's made like one of the last like 25 shots or something.
He's been terrible. I forget what he shot in the Australia game, but before that he was like 1 of 12, was 0 for 5 in Venezuela game, I think, got benched in the Australia game from starting.
It means nothing though, right?
Paul George. No, it does not. No, it doesn't mean anything. They play with an international ball. And
do you see Klay? This is a little old now, but Klay got stalked by a Rams cheerleader.
And she was spray painted outside of his house and then posted on Instagram, something like that?
So her name, at least on social media, is Charisse Sandra. And she posted on Instagram a picture of her apparently on Klay's property with the following spray painted on Klay's driveway. And this is when Klay is not at home. This is when Klay is practicing for the Olympics in Vegas. It says, quote, "You and me, baby. Sorry my name's tagged on your patio. at Klay Thompson, and she's wearing a fairly revealing dress.
Creepy.
Okay, super creep town. And if it's a dude doing that to a woman, this becomes a really ugly story, right? And the guy probably ends up in jail. The fact that it is a remarkably beautiful woman doing it has led to this kind of, I don't know, we don't really care about it. How would you feel if a gorgeous woman was stalking you? Would you kind of like it? Would it build up your self-confidence, or would you be weirded out?
I'd be weirded out even if I was still single and not married, but because that's just not the way to do it. Like, we can meet each other in other circumstances. Like, if you're going to those lengths, it's just, I think relationships thrive when the partners are more equal, yeah, and that's the fair. Power dynamics there seem way off.
I think if I never had to meet her, if like all I did was hear about the story, if I'm being honest, I'd love the story. And I'd love that everybody read about it and saw it. And I'd casually mention it or like when people mentioned it to me. If I actually had to interact with the crazy, you know, like if the crazy somehow is now really involved in my life, then no, my God, no, I don't want to have anything to do with it. But
because what's the next step after that?
Oh my God, who knows? Also, write me a letter. Like, it doesn't have to be spray painted on my driveway. There's a lot of ways you can communicate that crazy, and it doesn't have to involve spray paint or my property. You know what I mean? Have you ever, I won't use the word stalked, have you ever had an inappropriate crush on anybody?
I don't know what the use of inappropriate means, but I mean, feelings are feelings, right? Like, why you got to judge my crushes?
There was this girl named Dominique Wilkins at my high school.
Dominique Wilkins.
And she was
a girl.
Yeah, she was a girl. She wasn't, in fact, the human highlight reel who played for Atlanta. And she was gorgeous. And I knew her. I mean, I was not in her league in any way, but I went to junior high with her and I played basketball, so I wasn't a faceless person. She at least knew who I was. And what I remember is after second period, I would go way out of my way, like walk two buildings over just so that I could pass her for maybe a 25-second stretch so I could say hello. And that's the extent of the conversation. I'm sure she didn't even notice me saying hello. And the thing that sticks out of my mind is legitimately planning out and practicing my facial expressions, what I was going to use when I walked by her. You know, like what was I going to wear? How was I going to make eye contact? Like all of that stuff. In related news, never asked her out. Nothing ever happened at any stage ever. But, you know,
did you use the word hello?
No, let's see. I probably went, what's up? Because I thought that was cool. Maybe okay. Like kind of the extended head nod. Oh, maybe I even threw a peace sign because at that point it made me feel badass. These are the things I would practice. It wasn't ever a straightforward hello. There was the time I spray painted my name on her driveway. But that yeah. Didn't get the reaction that I wanted either.
Well, you didn't have Instagram back then.
That was, you know what? That's probably what held me back a little bit. This one's kind of a random one and a little bit overdue. But again, it's been so long between recordings that I feel like we got to pass on it. But Varejao, as we know, played for both teams in the finals last year. Started up his career playing for Cleveland, and then ended up being on our team to finish out the year. And obviously, they lose to Cleveland. If you play for a championship team at any point during a season, then you're entitled to a ring. And that was true this time. And the Cavs offered Varejao a ring, not just probably for what he did for them last year, but because he spent whatever it is, 15 years there. And he refused it. That's you. You're Varejao. They offer you a ring. You take it?
I think an important point is he had re-signed with the Warriors at that point, and so he knew he was coming back to this organization, which I think is a huge... If he had gone and signed for the Milwaukee Bucks, I think hands down he takes that ring.
No doubt.
But he's just trying to prove himself to his new teammates who just, you know, re-signed him. So I think it was a pretty savage move on his part.
Would you have done the same?
Given the fact that you're returning to the Warriors, I think I definitely would have.
Completely agree. I think you take it one step further. It's not just that he re-signed with the Warriors, not just that the Warriors lost to the Cavs. It's that the Warriors added Kevin Durant are now the title favorites again. If the Warriors had like reloaded, you know, like let's say they lose some major piece. All these people leave. Barnes, Bogut, Leandro Barbosa, all these guys leave. We don't bring in a big superstar, and now we're part of the malaise in the middle of the Western Conference. Maybe we got a shot, maybe we don't. I'm thinking Varejao takes that ring. I would. Right? But now that we're sitting kind of at the top looking down, like a championship, it's not a foregone conclusion, but we're all thinking there's a real good chance at it, then I can kind of disdainfully be like, hell no, I don't need that ring because I think I'm going to pull it anyways.
And because I think a part of it is you got to the finals yourself and you lost there to the Cavs in this particular example. And to me, if he had gone to another team that had maybe lost or not even made the playoffs, I think maybe you think about taking that again. But the fact that you were in the championship and you lost and you take a championship ring, It doesn't really sit right with me.
How badly do you want to see the Cavs in the championship next year?
Extremely badly.
And I mean, if the Warriors are lucky enough to win another title, but it's not against LeBron and his boys, is that a disappointment to you, or all we need is a ring?
I'd be happy with a ring for sure, especially after having just gone through that epic collapse. So it would just be that much sweeter if it came against LeBron.
I want some still shots of LeBron and J.R. Smith sobbing. And I want LeBron to have a ridiculous Kermit the Frog hat on. And I want J.R. Smith to not have a shirt. And I want it to be the lasting image of the summer.
I might want to have him play against the Bucks just so I can see Dellavedova cry.
I will make that into a shirt. If there's an image of all three of them crying together, and I'll throw on some sandals, some socks, some mesh shorts, and get out to East Lansing and party with Draymond, man. I am fired up for that exact opportunity.
I'll bring the cell phone charger.
Well, you won't need that, man. The cops will hack us up. Let's jump into the segment that should be called This or That, but is unfortunately called Would You Rather. Obviously, this is where we fire out two possible scenarios and then have to pick one. Let me give you this one. If you can have a superstar, but that superstar is going to be limited either by his head, how crazy he is, DeMarcus Cousins, or his height, Isaiah Thomas, what would you prefer? I'm sorry, let me do it this way. Would you rather have a player who is limited by his head or by his height?
I'd want the limited by the height. I just don't ever think, I don't know of a case really where you've gotten a mentally unstable guy back in the fold. I guess Dennis Rodman on the Bulls, Phil Jackson did it.
Is that true? Is there anybody who we knew to be crazy but was good? Not, because you're right. Once they've gone off the bandwagon, right, they're completely insane. Nobody, generally speaking, brings them back in. But isn't there, there's got to be an example of someone who was insane and successful at the same time, right? Like Gilbert Arenas, but he never had any, like, real next-level success. But there's got to be people out there. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins is pretty damn good.
But I guess, are you saying, though, that you can have they're crazy and they could maybe become kind of uncrazy versus... The other option for the short guy is, I mean, that person's not getting taller.
Exactly,
so
that's what I mean, exactly.
That's not fair to say, well, you can have a crazy guy, but he can get better, but then say you have a small guy, but he can't get taller.
Well, I'm saying there's no guarantee that they're getting better. I'll keep it personal. I would always take the crazy person because I like the idea of the upside. Exactly what you just said. I would always think that maybe you should show these guys a little bit. I bring in DeMarcus Cousins into our locker room. We show him how stable and phenomenal we are. We introduce him to someone like Jerry West. We give him the leadership of Steve Kerr. We give him the camaraderie of people like Draymond and, well, maybe not Draymond, people like Steph and Clay. He'll find the straight and narrow, and now we are fine, whereas you could never do that with Isaiah. But I'm sure there's psychologists out there that'll tell you, this dude's just crazy. It's never going to come back together.
And I think chemistry is way more important, so that's why I'd rather have a short guy who is good in the locker room and does a great job playing whatever role we need him to play. That's going to win you more championships than a talented, crazy player.
Give me a 2010 hair shirt wearing center any day of the week. Another one. You have to put money down. Would you rather bet, and we'll set this up this way, it is a fight between our former commissioner, David Stern, our current commissioner, Adam Silver. You have to bet $100. Would you rather bet on David Stern or Adam Silver? Some stats for your consideration. Stern stands at about 6 feet. This one's a guess, but an educated one. I bet you he's at about 215. 73-year-old man, so he's older. Whereas Adam Silver is 6'3". Just from an eyeball glance, I think he weighs about 120 pounds, and he is only 54. Or I'm sorry, he's only 54 years old. Where's your money go?
I think David Stern is probably around 230, but... I would definitely go with David Stern. That guy is...
A savage.
He's a savage. I mean, I don't know if you heard recently, but Jack McCollum, the guy who wrote the other Dream Team... No, who wrote the Dream Team book,
yeah,
had this story where he... And I think I heard this on the Zach Lowe podcast, was talking about Michael Jordan during that Olympics. They had a ping pong table brought in, and so the guys would always be playing ping pong. Leitner was the only guy who could beat Jordan.
And that went over well.
He would consistently beat Jordan, which, you know, made him nuts. But apparently, Leitner says David Stern is the only guy who can beat Leitner in ping pong.
It sucks so badly that we agree on this. I mean, it sucks so terribly badly. I was really excited, by the way, to see where that story was going. And the idea that it ended just in a ping pong battle, I was a little bit disappointed. I mean, I like the behind the scenes thing, but I was hoping there'd be some kind of crazy ass David Stern take to back it. What I'm thinking for with Stern, Not that he is terribly athletic. Your weight is probably on the money. Not that he could fight. I am sure that he can't. At a 73-year-old man, he probably doesn't have a whole lot of MMA skills. But that fool just has heart. Remember when he got into that fight with Jim Rome? All of those things, every single time he was pressed, he always swung back. Adam Silver doesn't strike me as that kind of a dude. I think if push comes to shove, Stern is taking his ass down.
Yeah, Adam Silver might have some tricks up his sleeve, though. Kind of almost alien-esque, out of this world powers that we don't know about yet.
Oh, I'm going to need to hear some follow-up on that. What kind of alien skills do you think Adam Silver brings to the table?
Have you seen it, like his head? And just his overall look is just alien-ish to me.
Are we talking like laser eyes or something? I mean, what?
Like, have you seen the movie Coneheads?
I have not, actually. Did they fight really well, or?
I can't recall, but they're aliens. I think they had some powers.
All right, well, I'm going to have to go ahead and, despite the alien take, I'm going to stick with Stern, man. Huge fun, you guys. We really appreciate you waiting in between the episodes. We know it was far too long. We love doing this every week. Certainly true this week. Please remember, you want to reach out to us. We can be hit up at warriorshuddle@gmail.com. In fact, I am looking to put together a brand new hate mail segment. So if you guys have been holding back any nasty words, now is the time to shoot them in. Our Twitter account remains at Warriors Huddle. Our website is warriorsworld.net. We're on a ton of podcasting services, including iTunes. You guys have been so phenomenal with reviews recently. Please give us another one. And I am happy to announce that we are going to be running a brand new game show called Are You Smarter Than a Bandwagon Fan? We'll give you guys details of that during the off season, but I at least wanted to tease it now. Huge fun, and go Warriors. Hopefully, we'll see you next week. Dark night feeling, die you be a hero, but live long enough to see yourself become a villain. You went from the favorite to the most hated, but would you rather be underpaid or overrated? More victories is for minor league coaches, and yeah, already told you we major, you cockroaches. Good, good.